Welcome to the WB3GX W repeater in Silver Spring, Maryland. God bless America.
This is WI3N. I'll be net control tonight, and we'll start the net in about 2 minutes. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Maryland DC EchoLink Net. It's held on the third Friday of the month at 8 o'clock. I see we got a number of check-ins, and that's a good thing. I was asked to be net control tonight, so why not? Anyway, we have a few things to get started with here, and let me just do this. Whoops, I did that. That was wrong. Well, wait a minute. There we go. So one of the things we wanted to do tonight was I needed Marty, who is in listen-only mode. Wanted me to get out to you about volunteers. He'd gotten an email from the League headquarters, and it's about volunteering in disaster areas. Let me break. And I'm going to read it to you. It's very short, but it was sent to the section managers and emergency coordinators. It said, as requests are received asking for amateurs to travel to the areas affected by Hurricane Irma, ARRL officials are reminded that to be covered under the Volunteer Protection Act or the MOU with the American Red Cross, the requests for volunteers must be submitted through the established ARRL/ARES channel. Volunteers wishing to offer their services in disaster relief need to go through the proper established channels. Any self-deployment or requests made outside of the established channels are not covered under ARRL's agreements and may not be subject to the provisions of the Volunteer Protection Act. And this is from Dan Henderson, N1ND. Regulatory Information Manager. Let me take a break. And I would like to mention that we do have upcoming on the first Sunday in October, will be the Terra Ham Fest up there at the Howard County Fairgrounds. So I just wanted to get that out there. At this point, let's go ahead and head down the list and see what's going on in the section. Let me take a little break here. I would like to now turn this over to W3TOM, our Atlantic Division Director, Tom, and see what he has for us tonight. Tom, you're on. Go ahead.
Yeah, WI3N in the net. This is W3TOM. Good evening, Jim, and good evening to everyone on the net. Good to see such a large crowd in here, and I really appreciate you picking up the net for us. We couldn't do it without you this evening. I have a couple things to share. I really appreciate you getting out the word, looking for communicators in the Florida Keys. Everyone's going to be vetted by the Northern Florida section. Amateur radio has played a large role in many areas, especially the Caribbean, where the island's communication and the power was totally wiped out. And this is another chance to pitch in, but no one is to self-launch. You have to be approved, and these are for missions in the Florida Keys, so that's great to hear. I appreciate you mentioning the Kara Ham Fest that's coming up. That's always a lot of fun. I did want to mention that tomorrow is the St. Mary's Amateur Radio Association Ham Fest. It's their fifth annual Ham Fest at the Hollywood Volunteer Fire Department in St. Mary's County. It's going to run all day. We'll be down there early, and look forward to seeing anybody who stops by. Stand by. Grab another nickel. Continuing, this is W3TOM. And I have some exciting news today to share. On the ARRL website, you can find it's ARRL.org. The first news item you can see there is the FCC opens the 630 and 2200 meter bands, but stations must notify the UTC before operating. And basically, this was just launched today. The SEC has announced that the Office of Management and Budget, that's OMB, has approved for 3 years the information collection requirement of the commission for the March 29th report and order, spelling out the amateur radio service rules for two new bands, the 630-meter band and the 2200-meter band. Notice the action appears in today's edition of the Federal Register. Before using either band, the stations must notify the Utilities Technology Council, that's UTC, formerly the Utilities Telecommunications Telecom Council, that they plan to operate. And if the UTC does not respond within 30 days, you may commence operating. Last March 27th, the FCC adopted the work conference new bands, the 2012 World Administrative Radio Conference. They've implemented the report and order, and we're waiting for this reporting piece. And the FCC's words provided for the frequency sharing requirements in the 135.7 to 137.8 kilohertz. That's a 2200-meter band. And the 472 to 479 kilohertz, that's a 630-meter band. So this is really exciting news. Just a little insight here. The new rules do not permit any mobile operation, just fixed operation. So 30 days from now, we'll be able to operate. Stations will be permitted to commence operations after a 30-day period, unless UTC notifies the station that the fixed location is within 1 kilometer of the power line carrier, the PLC systems, operating on the same or overlapping frequencies. The PLC systems are unlicensed, and this notification process ensures that the amateur radio stations operating on those bands will be located a minimum separation distance from the PLC transmission line, which will help ensure compatibility and coexistence of amateur and PLC operations. So it's exciting stuff. It was listed today, and if you go to the ARL website and look up the first news story, this news story, at the bottom there's a link. It says click here to access the UTC notification website. You need to have your coordinates to enter, but it's a painless operation. Even if you don't plan to operate, it'd really be great to go get registered anyway. Let's use the system here. Okay, that's the last nickel here. And that's basically my report for this evening, Jim. Good to hear everyone in on the net this evening, and we'll be listening around here. WI3N, net control, this is W3TOM, over.
Thank you very much, Tom, and welcome, and glad to have you on board tonight. Let's go down the list. We have a number of section officials here, so we'll hit them first and then head on down the list with everybody else and all the repeaters, etc. So let's go. We've got Al Brown, KZ3AB. He's assistant section manager, takes care of the newsletters and all that great important stuff. So Al, or Brownie, as some would call you, you're up. This is WI3N Net Control.
All right, WI3N. This is KZ3AB, and I'll stand by for a few seconds to make sure repeaters have a chance to identify. Yes, sir, this is KZ3AB, and we've been trying to help our section manager, Marty, with some of his duties, and trying to get out the section letter and updates, and it appears that Marty is overwhelmed with his work at FEMA, and we're doing what we can to help out. So thank you, and back to you, Jim. WI3N, this is KZ3AB.
Okay, Al, thank you very much. And let's go to another Al, W3YVQ, our section traffic manager. Good evening, Al, and what do you have for us tonight?
Oh, good evening, Mr. Tom, W3TOM. and you, Mr. Jim, and KZ3AB, and the rest of our visiting members of the MDC section operations team. And good evening, all. The NTS has been clicking away despite the fall of cycle 24 into the doldrums, but the sun has decided to entertain us in the last week or so with two X-ray flares and a whole bunch of M-class flares, which has stirred things up and made life interesting and challenging at the same time. The first X-flare was not directly aimed at the Earth, but the second one was on the 10th at 1600 Zulu, and it was an X8.2, and that solar flare completely charged up a D-layer that absorbed virtually all the HF communications on the sunlit side of the planet, particularly subsolar, with D-layer absorption somewhere well in excess of 60 dB. For all intents and purposes, in the daytime when conditions are not very good on 80 and only a little better on 40, that was enough to render them almost useless. The same for the 5 meg channels. However, we noticed in that evening that after about 4 hours, conditions started to improve, and by 6 hours, we were virtually ops normal on the MEPN net at 6 p.m. And likewise, the bands recovered moving to the west with the sun in similar fashion break. And as Marty put it, with two hurricanes, Harvey in Texas and Irma in the Caribbean and Florida, those flares came at a most inopportune time when communications was needed. We could have done without the X flares and the M class flares entirely and been very happy, thank you. However, both NTS and Radio Relay International were active in continuing to support in umbrella fashion the recovery operations in Texas as well as those in Florida, and to provide the means through the manual NTS nets and the digital traffic network, which is our 24/7 mailbox operation for radiogram and ICS forms, and the WinLink 2000 system, to maintain the capabilities for stations operating in the affected areas. And this time around, much of the welfare inquiry information it was archived by local section staff, but the outbound welfare traffic was sent up digitally to the digital traffic network or through WinLink directly up to clients elsewhere in the country for handling, or directly onto the internet through the central message servers, so that people could get word out to their loved ones in other areas. Right. And the NTS and RRI are still continuing to stand by and support those activities in the affected areas as best possible. The good old Hurricane Watch Net did its normal heroic job of trying to keep people informed about the location of storms and their expected pathways, and to handle emergency and priority traffic as it arose, and other similar nets, mostly on 20 meters, were active in supporting folks during those times of greatest stress as well. Now the long-haul recovery program begins, and there are places where there will not be infrastructure for weeks or months to come, and there amateurs can help, particularly those who are resident and native, but recruits who properly enroll and are vetted may be able to lend a hand in damaged areas until they can get some sort of satellite cell service, etc., back in operation. Right. And we also noticed during the X-ray flares that one of our geostationary satellites called SOHO, on their C3 visible light camera that looks at the sun with a mask over the disk of the sun itself to see the corona, was so dramatically affected by high-energy protons and electrons that the screen looked like spaghetti. There was noise all over it. And that lasted until today. It really started to fall off and subside finally today. It's 5 days after the X-ray flare, which is quite impressive. And during the event, neutrinos also penetrated the Earth's magnetic field and made it to the surface and were registered on the neutron detectors in various polar regions and Canada, where the neutron detector network resides as its sensing stations. Well, that's about it for all that kind of activity. And lastly, the Cassini satellite, which has been doing research around Saturn for a decade, discovering dozens more moons, learning a great deal about the rings around the planet, the storm activity in the gaseous atmosphere of the planet, and the thunderstorms that take place there that are quite significant, and other matters involving its magnetic field and various content and emissions from some of the moons, which have geysers and other wondrous features that raise more questions for future exploration. But the Cassini spacecraft had just about expended all of its maneuvering fuel and had a little bit of thruster fuel left, so rather than allow the satellite to fly around and crash somewhere in the solar system and perhaps leave some contamination behind, they engineered the last day of scientific flybys to allow the Cassini spacecraft to penetrate into the upper atmosphere of Saturn. And when it did, of course, it became unstable. The signal was lost here on Earth, and it, in its unstable fashion, was able to tumble and burn up. So the Cassini mission is over, and there were indeed some tears shed in the command center. A fantastic scientific mission and a fantastic team of people at JPL doing it. 730, have a nice weekend, W3YVQ.
Okay, thank you very much for that, Al. Yeah, that that satellite was something. It really was. Let's go to AB3WG, Chris, I believe the BTN chair. Go ahead. You had no audio there, so we'll check that out. We'll get back to you in a bit shortly. Let's go to NI2W Butch, the EC for Washington County. Good evening, Butch. And what do you have for us? This is WI3N Net Control.
Good evening, Jim, and good evening to everyone else on the net. Well, quiet up here lately. However, tomorrow, we're going to have an amateur radio demonstration as part of the Emergency Preparedness Day here in Washington County, and we will be located at Lowe's on Vasil Boulevard here, and we will be partnering with the Emergency Management Division of Washington County. They were to provide the trailer that we normally use for these events. However, due to a scheduling conflict, somebody else beat us out. So we'll be with the big self-propelled emergency communication center that the Washington County group has, and under their canopy and out front, and partnering with them. So it looks like a good day tomorrow, as long as it doesn't rain. And nothing much else going up here in Washington County. Our next event will be the annual Mumbers Parade at the end of October. And then, of course, the annual JFK in November. So busy, busy, busy at times, but other times kind of just taking it easy. And if anybody's interested, QCWA meets here the fourth Thursday of every month. 730, this is NI2W.
Okay, Butch, thank you for that. And good to be out there showing off a little bit. Excellent. Very, very good. partnering up with the emergency management folks is a good thing. So thank you for doing that. Okay, let's head down the list. We've had a few more check-ins come by here, but let's go ahead down the list and let's go to WA3TOY. Kurt, good evening, and what do you have for us tonight?
How you doing, Jim, and the rest of the net? Don't have much. Skywarn's been quiet the last week or two, fortunately. And excuse me. Speaking of emergency preparedness expos, Anne Arundel County is having theirs later this month. I forget the exact date, but it's like one of the last Saturdays of the month, maybe the 24th. For details, you can contact N3SEO Frank, who's the EC and RO for Anne Arundel County. With that, I'll turn it back to you, Jim, WA3TOY.
Okay, Kurt, thank you very much for that. And who knows, maybe Frank's on the JAI repeater down here. Let's see. Well, let's go to W3ICF repeater. W3ICF repeater, anyone on there, please call now.
K3DO.
KV3WR.
W3ICF, Philip.
KC3IEF, Dave.
Okay, we've got K3DO, KB3WR, W3ICF, and KC3IEF. So let's go to K3DO, and could you give me the handle, please? WI3N, net control.
WI3N, this is K3DO. My name is Mike, and I'm here in Frederick, Maryland. I'm the EC for Frederick County here, and just checking in on the net. Not much really going on here. We have a bike race this weekend that we're doing some communications for, and we had another big one last month as well, but otherwise it's been kind of quiet as the summer starts to wind down. But that's not much else for me, so I'm over to net control. This is K3DO.
Okay, thank you very much, Mike, and I'm sorry I didn't get you up there as the EC with the other ones, but thank you for that. Let's go to KB3WR. This is WI3N, net control.
This is Alpha Bravo 3, Whiskey Romeo. Correction on the call sign. Name is Rich, and just checking into the net. On another note, Carroll County will be doing its emergency preparedness on the 23rd of September. So with that, I'll just say 7-3 and be back to the net.
Okay, Rich, thank you for that info that Carroll County will be doing theirs on the 23rd of September. Excellent. Philip, W3ICF, good evening, and what you have for us tonight?
Good evening, Jim. Nothing much, really. Just nice to hear you back on the net there. Everything's going just about standard up here in Frederick, so I'm going to turn it right back over to you there. WI3N, W3ICF.
Okay, very good. Good to hear you, as always. Let's go to KC3IEF. And is that Dave? Go ahead.
That's correct. Nothing to add here. 73 to everybody. KC3IEF.
Okay, thank you for that. Is there anyone else on the KW3ICF repeater that would like to check in? Please call now. Okay, nothing heard. So let's go to the KA2JAI repeater. Anyone on the KA2JAI repeater, please call now.
November 3, Sierra Echo Oscar, KA2JAI, KB3KW.
All right, we have N3SEO Frank, KA2JAI Mike, and KB3KWT Paul. Anyone else, please call now. All right, hearing none, let's turn it over to Frank, N3SEO. And Frank, I just want to thank you for having all of the folks at the planning session for the SET up there at the EOC in Glen Burnie. That was very good. It worked very well, and just want to thank you very much for that. And over to you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Jim. Good evening. It's a pleasure providing space for the county people to, the state people to meet and have a good time.
too. Thank you very much, and thank you for participating as you all do with the emergency preparedness September stuff. That is really good to get us out in front of people at the mall. I think exposure is a great thing. Let's go to KA2JAI Mike. Good evening, and what do you have for us tonight, sir?
Good evening, Jim. Good to hear you on the net again. I'm looking forward to the ARES meeting tomorrow that Frank mentioned, where we're going to prepare for the upcoming Emergency Prep Expo. And things are going to get a little busier for us in the public service arena here as we come out of the summer. I think over the next month we have about 3 or 4 events lined up on the calendar already. So our area here is going to be pretty busy with that. I'll turn it back to you again, Jim. This is KA2JAI.
Okay, Mike, thank you very much for that. Yeah, planning is good. Let's go to Paul, KB3, KBW. Good evening, and what do you have for us tonight?
Good evening, Jim. Frank and Mike have covered everything, so I don't have anything else. This is KB3.
Okay, Paul, thank you. I'm sorry I messed up your call sign. KB3KWT, I believe that is the correct one. So thank you very much for that. This is WI3N Net Control for the Maryland DC Echo Link Net. And let's keep on heading down the list. So let's go to Jerry N3JVC. Good evening, and what do you have for the net tonight? Okay, nothing heard with N3JVC. We'll come back again one other time. I don't see him on the list. So let's go back to AB3WG. Chris, see if your audio is working. This is WI3N Net Control.
AB3WG, am I coming through now, Jim?
Oh, yes, you are now. Chris, stand by. Go ahead.
Okay, AB3WG, thanks, Jim. Great job running the net tonight. Thanks for doing that. And just want to mention real quick, Baltimore Traffic Net, having great participation. I want to thank everybody who joins us each evening and our net controls, alternate net controls, and all of our net members who participate with us. There are opportunities available for net control stations and traffic handling duties, so come on in and join us. And then just a quick thanks to everybody and anybody who's working with the folks down in Florida and Texas, helping those folks through the hurricanes. First responders, everybody who's helping out with that. Just a big thank you there. We'll turn it back to you, Jim. Thanks again. AB3WG.
Okay, Chris. Thank you very much. Yeah, I got the call sign wrong on Jerry. So let's try Jerry, N3VBJ. Jerry, go ahead. Okay, we had a little open mic there. Not sure who it was, but it was very interesting. Let's go to N3VBJ. Let's try again. N3VBJ. Jerry, go ahead.
Okay, I don't know what that was. I thought it would look like a Korean station or something there. Anyhow, this is N3VBJ, Northeast Coordinator for Skywarn, and we're currently located here in Chicago, Joliet, Illinois, to be exact, at Chicagoland Raceway. We're working with NASCAR this weekend, And we do have several officials here from NASCAR and other guests here in the trailer listening to what's going on here in the Maryland section net. And everybody's scratching their head wondering how we're able to connect basically the entire state of Maryland here and how this whole thing works. But we'll explain it. Anyhow, not much going on with Skywarn. Hurricane season is still in, so I suspect about mid-October, Tom will start beginning signing up classes and so forth. So looking forward to a busy fall coming up here. Everybody stay safe. We're going to try to stay out of trouble here in Chicago. And 3VBJ, back to net.
Okay, Jerry, thank you very much. And, yeah, I'm glad you're out there, still out there and enjoying that. This is WI3N Net Control for the Maryland DC Echo Link Net. So let's go to KB3JQQ. I have the link, and also I believe is just let's go to the KB3JQQ link. See who's there. Scott, are you there? And anyone else, please call now.
Hey, good evening, Al, and everyone on the net. That's just me connected up twice, so no big deal. Nothing going on over here. Just watching the Oriole game. Not sure what the score is right now because I've been paying more attention to the net. The weather's been pretty good except it's been pretty humid. So I'm going to pass it back and let you get to the other folks. KB3JQQ.
Oh, all right, Scott. Thank you very much. And let's go to the WB3GXW repeater and see if anyone's on board there. If you are, please call now. Okay, nothing heard on the WB3GXW repeater. So let's go to KB3QWC. KB3QWC. Anything for the net? Go ahead. All right, nothing heard from KB3QWC. Let's go to WI3J. Stu, good evening, and what do you have for us tonight? All right, nothing heard from Stu. So let's go to KC3IZA. Mike, if you're still there, you're on. WI3N net control. Okay, nothing heard with Mike there. I don't see him on here anymore. Let's go to KB3WQI, Ed, in Red Lion, Pennsylvania. Good evening, Ed. What do you have for the net tonight?
KB3WQI in the group, just listening to the net, being a beautiful day here in Red Lion. The days are winding down, getting cooler. Before too long, we're going to have the first day of winter, and then we can look forward to the days getting longer again. Anyway, everyone have themselves a wonderful weekend. Get out, try to do something you enjoy, because, you know, tomorrow could be your last day on Earth, so enjoy it like it was. KB3WQI, 73-0.
Yeah, okay, Ed, thanks for checking in, and good to hear you here, and we'll be here again next month on the third Saturday. So let's go to KB3JME. Bill, this is WI3N Net Control. Good evening, and what do you have for us? Well, I see you there, Bill. KB3JME. Might have stepped out. Are you there? Go ahead. Bill, go ahead and try again.
I'm not sure what's going on. I was just trying to say that it's been months since I've checked in. Don't have any real traffic for the net. I just wanted to prove I could get out. Back to net control. This is KB3JME from Cecil County, stroke Turkey Point.
All righty. Well, thank you for checking in with us. Your audio is great. Everything's working fine. So look forward to seeing you next month. Let's go on to W3TDH. Tom over in Montgomery County. Good evening, and this is WI3N Net Control. What do you have for us tonight? Go ahead. Well, you connected, but no audio. Try again.
Thank you, sir. I found the problem. What we're up to over here is we're getting ready for the simulated emergency test exercise, first part of the coming month, and we're in planning to employ a genuine Shirley Array antenna as our only antenna for HF for that effort. But I have a question that somebody on this net might have the answer for. I've been looking here, there, and everywhere. As to how to match that Shirley, it consists of two folded dipoles in parallel and brought to a common point and then fed to the transmitter. And I want to know how you match the open wire folded dipole feeders, which are also 300 ohms, just like the folded dipoles, to the 50 ohms the transceiver is going to want to see, because for the life of me, I can't see why 300 ohms twice in parallel should still be 300 ohms, although that's what some of the diagrams seem to suggest. I can't believe it's true. So if anybody has the magic answers for that problem, please get in touch or send an email, w3tdh@arrl.net. That's all I have for you, Jim. Back to net, w3tdh.
Well, okay, Tom. Hopefully somebody out there can get you w3tdh@arrl.net and give you an idea of what to do for that matching problem. Interesting. I can't help, but good luck with that. And I'm glad you're playing in the SET. That's excellent. Let's go to W3SMD link and see who's out there. This is WI3N, net control. Go ahead.
Nothing like picking up the handheld to have a dead battery. Evening, Jim. Nothing of great significance. Wore myself out today spreading topsoil on the yard, so might be an early evening. WI3N from W1JD.
Okay, JD. Good hearing you, and nice that you're out working in the yard. That's a good thing. Well, let's see. This is WI3N net control. I see a couple suggestions there for the match, Tom, if you're looking at the chat box there. Let's see. Who are we missing here? Does anyone else would like to check in? Please call now. I may have missed somebody.
WI3J, check in.
KC3IZA, check in.
Oh, very good. Okay, you're all back. Stu heard you and heard. Okay, let's go to where am I here? Oh, yeah, WI3J. Stu, we'll start with you. Go ahead. This is WI3N net control.
Hey, good evening, Jim. Good evening, on that WI3J Stu here in Gaithersburg. Yeah, I'm trying to ask some, find out about the October 7th SET simulated emergency testing. I read the MDC section page on ARRL, the details about that. I'm interested in what are the operating modes, or how does one participate in that, or do you have to sign up, be a member? There were really no details about, you know, how to operate that SET on October 7th. Back to you, Jim, WI3J.
Oh, okay, Stu, thank you for that question. So Jim Montgomery, our SEC, WA3KAS, WV3KAS, sorry, is our is putting it together. There will be a number of scenarios. This particular one will be working with APRS, tracking people over in Ocean City, and a few other things around the section. And each section is encouraged to participate in some portion of it, whatever they would like to do. Now, that said, I think what you might want to do is send Jim Montgomery an email and ask him about it. That way he'll put you on the list. You'll get a copy of the plan once it's all put together and sent out, and get you on that distribution list, and you'll see what's going on and figure out what you might want to do to play in it. So that would be great if you could do that, and Montgomery County, if they can do it too. So that's good. Tom is working on some stuff there. W3TDH was on a little bit ago, so there will be some activity over there, and perhaps you could link up with that too. So I hope that helps. I will type in his email address in the chat box momentarily. But let's go over to KC3IZ. Oh, well, let me see. Do you have anything else? Go ahead.
No, thank you very much, Jim. I'll send Jim Montgomery, check his email address here, write it down, and have him get back to me. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Okay, very good. And let's go to KC3IZA. Mike, you're back. Good evening, and what do you have for us?
Good evening. Sorry I missed you the first time. Still trying to figure out this program, first time using it. I'm in the Salisbury area. I don't really have anything to add. Just, if you're coming to the Eastern Shore, be careful. We've had a couple bicycle accidents already this weekend. Unfortunately, some have turned out to be fatal between the motorcycle gathering in Ocean City, and then we've got the Seagull Century coming up in another week or two. Back to Net Control 73.
Okay, Mike, thank you very much for that. And while you're on board here, I will mention that we are really short of help on the Eastern Shore for anything with emergency communications and amateur radio. So if you have any are able to help in any way, I would urge you to contact Jim Montgomery. And I'm going to put his email on the chat box here in a moment. And maybe send him an email if you're interested, and he would be more than happy to work you into helping out with some stuff, because traditionally we have had very little help over on the shore in terms of emergency communications. And that is one place that things happen, can happen, and have happened. So it would be nice to have some folks in place. So if you're able to do something, I'm going to type in his email, and he can send him an email and let him know you're interested, and he'll be more than happy to work you into doing some stuff. So thank you very much. Let me go, let's see, is there anyone else? This is WI3N Net Control. Is there anyone else who would like to check in to the Maryland, D.C. EchoLink Net on the third, held on the third Friday at 8 o'clock? Please call now. All right, well, hearing nothing, I would like to thank everyone for joining us tonight. Marty was in listen-only mode from wherever he is at the moment. And but I would like to thank everyone for joining us. Come stop by and visit us on the next EchoLink Net. Also, if, like I say, if you're interested in helping out with the simulated emergency test coming up on October 7th, Saturday, there will be things to do and play with. You're certainly invited. Take Jim Montgomery's email address when I type it in here in a moment, and send him an email. Let him know, and he'll send you the plan. So thank everyone, and this is WI3N Net Control closing the EchoLink Net third Friday. I'd like to thank John WB3GXW for the use of his repeater and for the Wash underscore DC server. Couldn't do it without you. So thank you very much, WI3N. I'll be clear and type in the thing momentarily. WI3N, is clear.
All right, W3TDH. Only the antenna that's in resonance has a low impedance. The one that's not resonant has a high impedance. So it's never going to be perfect. And like you said, 300 to 50 doesn't work out that well. But that's what the tuner is for. Anyway, you would want to, the thing is, if you put a tuner between two pieces of coax, it's nothing more than a trans match. You're just matching the two impedances together. You got to put the tuner at the feed point if you really want it to be part of the system. KB3JQQ.
Very good, old son. That's helpful, but the question is, can it be done without putting a coupler out there at the feed point? We've got an 80 and a 40 Shirley array. We'll probably only deploy the 40 because it's a daytime only operation this year. And hopefully we can make that puppy work. If we have to use the coupler, we will. But I was hoping somebody could tell me what the match would be between the two 300 ohm antennas in parallel and the 50 ohms. What do the two 300 ohms in parallel actually come out to? Because once I know the answer to that question, I can match it to 50 if come hell or high water. W3TDH.
Yeah, YVQ's got some info there. What happens is that the one that's resonant has got the low impedance. The one that isn't, it's got the high impedance. If you try to put 80 into 40, it's just going to be an eighth of a wave. You try to put 40 into 80, it's a half wave, and that's a very high impedance too. So maybe YVQ, you want to jump in here with this? KB3JQQ.
Yeah, are the two dipoles the same length, Tom?
Yes, exactly so. It's in the nature of there being a Shirley array. They're of the same length. They're cut to the same frequency. They're both folded. Emphasizing they're both folded. They're inherently 300 ohm dipoles. They're not folded terminated. This is not a Barkin Williamson military job. And they're both fed with 300 ohm window line. So it's 300 ohms all the way back to the feed point. But there they become common, and I'm having trouble wrapping my head around how to figure out. I got lost in the antenna book. No problem at all. I got thoroughly lost trying to figure out how to know what to match the two 300s in parallel at the same operating frequency back to the 50 ohms that'll keep the transmitter fat and happy. How do you compute the impedance of the two 300 ohm loads that are operating in parallel with each other? W3TDH.
Well, assuming you wish to drive them in phase, and if not, there's a different answer. If you want to drive them in phase, you parallel the two, and you wind up with 150 ohm impedance, each antenna looking like a 300 ohm resistor, looking up toward the antenna. So two in parallel is 150, and you want to match that to the 50 ohm transmitter. You need an odd balance, since most balance don't provide that 3-to-1 ratio that you need. So in lieu of a balun, if you can use a balanced antenna tuner down at the transmitter to match 150 ohms balanced to 50 ohms, you'll be in business. On the other hand, if you need to drive them in opposite phases, then you'll need a balun transformer on each line and reverse the pair going to the antenna on one of the baluns, and then combine the two balun outputs using these similar ratios to connect to the tuner and drive it as a single load. Does that make any sense now?
It makes perfect sense. They will be in phase. The whole purpose of a Shirley is to force the maximum amount of your signal straight up that can be managed with a relatively simple array. Developed by a major of that name in the Malaysian emergency during the 50s as a way of keeping touch with parachute troops in the mountains of Malaysia. So I'm just trying to figure out how to drive the thing, and you're right, 3-to-1 balance are as rare as hen's teeth, and that leaves me with a different dilemma. But I guess we'll just give in and put the SG500 antenna coupler out at the common feed point and common both feed lines off of that, and let it do the heavy lifting for us, since getting a 3-to-1 balun is going to be challenging. Thank you. I appreciate the time. Have a good night. W3TDH.
B3JQQ.
But if you don't have the right iron, you might run into saturation problems, etc. So here's a suggestion for you. Combine the two together, put your tuner on there, and then in order to keep the lines as balanced as possible, use a 1-to-1 balun between the tuner and the transmitter. That will let the tuner float. And that'll work fine as long as the tuner doesn't have a common ground or the antenna connections is an integral part of its circuitry that you'll have to address. If you're going to use a manual tuner, for example, and operate over the normal bandwidth of the dipoles, then it's very easy to use a manual tuner and just make a small adjustment at one end of the band or the other. And you can still use the 1-to-1 balun to float that tuner above ground. Don't connect any ground to the tuner at all, and that way your lines will be balanced. quite frankly, if you're driving full of dipoles like that and you ground one side of the feed line, they'll probably still work. But that is a classic Nevis configuration and kind of squirts straight up like the loop does. Cloud burners, we call them, and that ought to work nice for close-in work. Over.
This is Phil, W3ICF. I think QST had a in-depth discussion on that about a month or two ago, so you might look in one of the recent QST magazines. I think it's going to be somewhere between 1 and 3 months back, and they
we used it. I just wasn't in on assembling it at the time, so I don't know how they matched it. We used it over a decade ago for field day and had great results out of it, but I wasn't in on assembling the antenna because I was busy elsewhere assembling a four-square antenna, and as soon as we had it built, a thunderstorm rolled through and tore it to pieces, so we never got to use that one for field day. W3TDH, thanks to all.
Well, Tom, we have a fellow over in Delaware who runs a half-wave loop and a full-wave loop on 80. The full-wave loop has low angles, and he has a pretty rotten signal with that one. But on his half-wave loop, he pounds in because he's lighting the clouds up straight up overhead. He needs a very high takeoff angle to land over here across the bay. And I suspect you may find with an ordinary Pi network or T-tuner, if you just tied the two feed lines together and stuck them on the tuner and matched 150 ohms to 50 ohms, it would take off and fly. You obviously know what the value of balanced feed lines are with regard to collecting currents from the antenna and upsetting the current on the feed line, which balancing helps deal with. But if you were to tie one side to the tuner ground and the other side of the tuner hot and matched 150 to 50, it would probably fly, particularly if the feed lines are dropping down at right angles to the dipoles for a good bit of the way. Over.
Well, that's the intention. We have every intention of dropping them down at a right angle and then running them parallel off the center. You know, we're gonna throw a little tripod of those cami poles up at the center to keep the 300 ohm window line out of the dirt, and then we'll run them in parallel with each other back to a point where we can put them into the non-existent as yet matching arrangement or into the tuner. And since it looks like it's going to be the antenna cup of the SGC SG500 at this point, since we're not likely to have the time to make up a 3-to-1 match for it, then we'll take your suggestion and use the 1-to-1 ballon to isolate the shields from the arrays, and hopefully it'll fly like a kite. W3TDH.
Another thought comes to mind. If you have a rather broad impedance tolerant 1-to-1 ballon that has separate windings for input and output, as opposed to a tapped coil approach, you could possibly just put the 1-to-1 onto the two feed lines joined together, and it would pass 150 from one side of the ballon to the other, providing the balanced connection. Then on the tuner side, it wouldn't matter if you grounded one side of the line. You'd still be matching 150 ohms through the tuner to 50 ohms from the transmitter, and you wouldn't have to worry about ground connections inside the tuner. It's worth a try. Most of those transformer-wound ballons on good iron can tolerate operating at 150 ohms. The currents will be less anyhow, and you don't have to worry about voltage breakdown unless you're running a kilowatt and a half over.
Well, there's no risk of that since it's going to be running off the Yaesu that's sitting right in front of the 857 Delta. So that happens to be my field radio for this sort of thing because it's so small and compact. And the only thing that's going to tempt me away from it eventually when I can afford the Kenwood 200-watt rig is that 200-watt rig would be willing to do some digital stuff at 60 watts with that 100% duty cycle. Whereas, you know, I'm down at 30 watts or so with the 857 because it can't put up with the duty cycle anywhere near its, you know, supposed top end. Couldn't do that. So other than that, I love the 857, and that's what's going to be feeding it this time. Next year, who knows? But so I'll feed the 857. I've got the SG500. And Al, if you've got the time, if you could give me a link or any referral to how to make that make or find, even especially if I could find for rapid order one of those one-to-one separate winding balance. If you've got a source for that, that would be real helpful. My call sign, ARRL.net, works, W3TH at ARRL.net. So anybody who's got a source for that one-to-one to do the isolating, that would be a wonderful thing, worth a try. And maybe the tuner won't mind his whole, the coupler rather, won't mind his whole thing at all when I just keep it up off the ground. It's fed with coax, and out comes the two antennas in parallel off its outputs, its ground connection and its hot connection, without grounding the ground connection of the coupler at all. Maybe it'll just be willing to put up with that without a special arrangement, but I'd rather have the special arrangement there just in case, the one-to-one bowing you spoke about. So if you've got a source or a design that could be executed in time, either would be a lot of help. W3TDH.
By the time you find the right iron and try and wind them, you might have been able to buy one commercially. I don't have a clue to tell you where to look, Tom. Take a look for any Ballon manufacturer in QSD and contact them, or look on their webpage and see if they offer a one-to-one that's fully isolated on primary and secondary, and they could probably ship it to you in a day or two. And check what kind of connections they have on each side of it, too. Sometimes they're just coax connectors, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Frankly, I've run folded dipoles directly off a grounded T-tuner that's single-sided, and it's not balanced. And on field day, it worked out just fine with them as a dipole being folded like that. As long as you match the 300 ohms to 50 ohms, it ran like a clock.
Well, that is music to my ears. So rather than pull my hair out any further, I guess that's what we're going to try. Although I will look around for a one-to-one balance. This will give you a chuckle, I think, Al. We've been in the midst of doing an inventory here on stuff the organization has been hanging on to for well over a decade. And I know that because it's been here stored at my home. And now I'm discovering how much of this stuff is actually needed and how much anybody is interested in holding on to, because now I've told them I need it out of here. And now they're anxious that it shouldn't be too much stuff. So now they're willing to put in the time and the work and so forth to tell me, well, what do we have that for? And I says, I've been asking that for 10 years. But enough of that. Thanks for the help, Al. I appreciate it. Good night, all. Thanks much. W3TDH.
That's a funny story, and I suspect that the same thoughts have run through your mind as when your wife asked you, why did you bring that green Z junk home from the ham fest?
No, Al, I one of two things. I either don't go to ham fest, or I don't bring my credit cards. So it's limited to whatever I took to the ham fest in cash, money, U.S. currency, coin of the realm. And then to limit it even further, I bring enough to buy lunch and pay the gate fee, and then I can enjoy the ham fest and not burden myself with any more boat anchors than I already have. So good tip, but I've already been there, done that. W3TDH.
Okay, and one last thought for balancing. If you want to balance after you tie the feed lines together, you might wrap them around a wooden or other non-metallic object to form about an 8 or 10 turn loop of the feed line, assuming they're that small 300 ohm ribbon, and that'll form a current ballon that'll tend to choke off the common mode currents a little bit, and you're done with balance questions, and just connect the two lines in parallel up to the output of the tuner and let her fly. I suspect 150 ohm match problem for that SC tuner is an elementary one, because that's a 301 SWR and it handles that stuff all the time. Over.
Well, therein is the good news, but you know, until you answered me, I couldn't get anybody around me here asking a dozen people, does the impedance work out the same as a parallel resistance, you know, when they're both the same, and nobody can answer that, and I'll admit I got thoroughly lost inside the antenna book trying to answer it for myself. And I'm sure it's in there someplace, but I just wasn't familiar with the book enough to find it. So I thank you. That simplifies matters immensely, and I'll let you go. Have a good night. And W3TDH will be clear and pulling the plug. W3TDH.
I told myself writing the complex algebra for tuner analysis. It isn't amazing when the antennas become resistance, everything drops down to elementary Ohm's law. W3YBQ73 and good luck.
With a good dose of AC theory thrown in for good measure. KB3JQQ.
That's right. I look at those resistors and say they're dumb. They can't tell the difference between AC and DC.
That's right. Resistance is futile. And 3BBJ.
That's right. Now, if he wants to drive them out of phase, that's a whole different animal. See you, Jerry. And greetings to all the gentlemen from NASCAR. 73 to you, Jerry. See you on the net. 73YVQ.
All right, Father Al. We're going to start chasing people out of the trailer here and get things shut down for the night here. We got a big day tomorrow here in Chicago, and we'll be monitoring NHRA in Charlotte this weekend as well. So hopefully I'll get home this week. I haven't been home in 2 weeks, so we'll survive. November's coming, the seasons will be over with, and I'll get to stay home and watch it snow. Everybody, take care and stay safe, and enjoy AM radio. And 3BBJ, Joliet, Illinois, we'll be clear.
And tell all those fellas how easy it is to get an amateur radio license, and not only that, if they've seen the old telegraphers at work on the railroads in the late 19th century, remind them that in amateur radio we've kept the CW tradition alive. Instead of clicks and clacks, we use continuous waves or tones. Dit and da for an A, for example. And the fellow amateurs in their area will be glad to take them into a class and teach them all that good stuff and help them get their license. 73W3YVQ.
Well, the Aero Club in October is working the scouts on the air, the JOTA contest from the Train Museum in Baltimore City there. And we've enlisted a couple of our old-time CW hags to come down and pound some brass. So we're going to keep CW alive down there and show the kids that Morse code is still alive and well.
And a superior mode of communication, hence 2 points per contact on the contest as opposed to one per voice. And remind them of that. And it's a cherished art once you learn it, that you share with people all over the country, and it's great fun. W3YVQ, I got my commercial in, didn't I?
Roger that, and hopefully you've retrained yourself once again. Again, everybody stay safe, and 3BBJ, Joliet, Illinois. We'll be going that way.
Daily. And Phil, you only have a couple of years on me, old-timer. And Jim is still listening, WI3N, and one of these days you're going to check into MDD and I'm going to fall off the chair and hurt myself.
Oh, I better not do that, Ben. I don't want that to happen. Yeah, I got to do that. It's, I have to be in the shack to do it, though. It's, I'm not going to be, well, it looks like hopefully I'll be eating dinner in about a half an hour, so. My days and nights and evenings have been kind of long. This is WI3N.
I had a strange feeling that there's going to be some construction of homes in Texas and Florida required in the not-too-distant future. W3YVQ, thanks for running the net. Good night.
73.
Okay, Al, thank you. And I'm thinking every year we, on the third week of January, our church group has been going down to New Orleans and working on with Habitat for Humanity down there, and I think we're going to be doing it again this year. One of the problems with all of the disasters is, an issue, is everybody runs over to the disaster, helps everything get going, and then another disaster happens and they run over there and do that. The problem is the other stuff in New Orleans, like it's going to be 15 years to get that place rebuilt. And so every time you have a disaster, you have less people fixing up the stuff, enough, you know, a lot less gets done. But anyway, we'll be there, I think, doing that again this year. And it's been interesting. We've done that ever since Katrina. Been started out down in Mississippi and ended up in Nashville for a couple times when they had the floods, and then down in New Orleans. We met up with some folks there, went to New Orleans for the last several years, and this year we actually didn't do New Orleans, went to Charleston where they had a flood a year ago and worked on a house there. So, yeah, it's always stuff to do. Well, good chatting, and take care. We'll try to get on one of these nights when we're back home. WI3N.
You know, I've often wondered down in those places, Jim, whether the modular home builders were much of a help. I mean, they can throw the sticks together and ship them on flatbeds into the area. All you need some guys to stick them together and then do the finishing work, electrical and plumbing, some of which is pre-installed, make fast work out of helping folks get back up and running again. Do those people chip in?
No, everything I've been involved with has been all constructed, hand-constructed, on the site. Nothing's been shipped in, nothing that I've done anyway. There might be a few around somewhere, and I know even in Baltimore, a number of folks have been, you know, they would gut an old townhouse up there and bring in, basically modular units, stack them on top of each other. You got a first floor, second floor, wiring's all done, everything. It is a good way of doing it, but the other issue is, in a lot of these places, is actually finding out who the property belongs to, because a lot of this times this property has been in a family since 1920, and the son lives there, and his son lives there, and, you know, it's just a cycle through, and all of a sudden you have a disaster, and all the old records are, you know, from early 1900s or something, and they don't know who was there or who owns it or what, you know. So there's a lot of complicated stuff that happens in these disaster areas.
You know, particularly when the county records go bad enough, losing the deeds and the plats and so forth. I understand the issue. That's interesting. I was looking at prefabs for some work like that in the reconstruction in a flooded area once, and for $40,000, they put a nice rancher in your hands. All you had to do is pour a pad with tie-down bolts, and it came with all the electrical wiring in the walls and so forth, and basic plumbing. All you had to do is hook them up to services and paint them and turn them on. And the banks were willing to pay money for them, and the insurers were okay with it as long as you had it tied to the pad, because they won't go away when you do that like they will otherwise. But I just thought I'd ask that question, because I can't imagine when 50% of the homes in parts of Florida, the Keys and over in Texas, are gone. How in the world do you ever get through all that? It's a huge amount of work. And if you're still working on Katrina, that answers the question. W3YVQ 73.
Okay, Al. Yeah, it's an ongoing process. I mean, there's stuff from hurricanes down in Florida from years ago that still haven't been finished. So it just keeps going. And when we were in Pas Christiane, down in Mississippi, after about after Katrina, about 4 or 5 years after Katrina. They had a population of 6,700. 5 years later, there were 1,500 people back home. And still lots of empty spaces with just some concrete stairs going nowhere. So it's when this stuff comes through, it is incredibly devastating and takes forever to get back together. So anyway, thank you, 7-3, and we'll try to catch you on the net. This is WI3N, and I'll be clear.
Roger that, and that's an important insight for FEMA and Congress to consider in these areas this time around, too. W3YBQ, I'm going to run to 3rd Region. See y'all. And thanks, John, for the use of the hardware.